We're back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show. To the one and only White Beard and TK podcast. Yes, it took me about a half a second to remember what I was about to say, because I was about to say the White Beard and TK experience, which is the YouTube show, which quite often I have introduced us before we set out on our hike or camping adventure. Welcome to the White Beard TK podcast. But yeah, that's bound to happen when you use the same name so people can find you, and it's just all the other good stuff. You're just gonna stand there looking at me. Well, I'm one of your hosts. I am T. Anthony, and standing right next to me is
TK, the better host, obviously. Everybody knows.
Yeah. You and a little circle of people in your mind, in your brain. You and your own little group. Just you all.
Definitely in my brain, because I have no friends.
Oh, good gracious. People, you know, I'm not even going to get into it. You know, I am going to say something. You know, people who say they have friends, people who have friends don't have friends.
I have imaginary friends in my head.
No, those with their electronic friends don't have friends. There's just a bunch of people you see electronically on a thing.
Imaginary friends can never leave you.
Okay. Anyway, that's a great segue into some of the topics and some of the things we're going to cover in today's show, which is, by the way, we are coming towards the close of the, what month is this? Because every month there's something month.
Mental health month, apparently.
Mental health month. And also today we have a few other things for you. Kind of an update on the 52 Hike Challenge. And what else was I saying? Finding healing in the outdoors. Yeah, I'm kind of scattered right now because I was looking down at my phone to find out the title of this and just a few other things, and it made me skip off to Malou. So how are you this fine, fine Tuesday?
Probably worse than I should be, but better than I could be.
Yes. Pretend this is not the day before.
What?
Nothing. better than who to do what now?
I said worse than I should be and better than I could be.
Whatever that means. What is that supposed to mean?
It means I'm not doing great, but I'm not calling the suicide hotline.
Why are you not doing great? And why would the suicide hotline have to come into it?
Oh my goodness.
Stop watching TV.
I barely even watch live TV.
That's a lie.
No, it's not.
You watch other TV.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Anyway, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Today.
Nice.
It's been a difficult week. As I've been posting on Instagram recently, just a few stories, and it was stuff of, I don't know why. I think I said as the other day, you know, probably because we're approaching June, that, you know, mommy has been on my mind a little bit. So I was just thinking of things, not just thinking her like she's on my mind, all, but like I was looking at something on TV, and the person smiled to remind me of her smile, and then someone was laughing, and I remember her laugh. So like the last story I posted was about the particular laugh that she had. It was sort of infectious that other people would laugh. The other thing was, I think the one before that was after I was it was 24, and the lady did something, and it reminded me of something that mommy would do, her facial expressions, and so it just made me start thinking about stuff, and the fact that we weren't able to really get out to go hiking, because almost every weekend we had terrible weather, so we've been hiking in the midweek, so it's just kind of mess up stuff. So I've been off my schedule, just off a lot of other things, and it just set in motion a whole line of things that just set me all off. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing today. And then now here we are, back here, kicking this thing off because we took a lot of time from behind the mic working on some things. And one of those things turned out to open the door for something else. Well, not open the door for whatever, but who knows? It's the point. Right?
Yes.
So, we were, for a quick update, we were down in Tennessee not too long ago. Why were we down there? What were we doing? Come on, talk to the folks.
We were searching on the lookout, like Dora the Explorer and Diego. For a home. We're looking for a home. We have no home.
I'm homeless. Please feed me.
The only home I have is in my heart.
I can only have caviar.
Yeah, we were looking at some places to live. And doing other things.
Yeah, looking at, you know, future stuff like colleges around there. And we also went down there to backpack for our annual backpacking trip. We'll see how annual it is as I continue to get older. So we went and we went through that while we were down there. And then we camped out for two nights going and coming back. We haven't gone camping in a while. It's been a while since we've had, you know, stable camping. What was it, like maybe 2 years ago, 2019? Before 2020. Because 2019, I think we had gone camping a couple of times that year. And I think maybe one time it got cut off and was like, okay. And then we went at the end of the year with your sister. And then the following year, when 2020 came, we hadn't gone camping the entire year until October. For the first time, we had gone fall and winter camping and almost froze to death. And then what happened last year, last camping season, 21?
I don't remember.
We didn't camp. We went on long camping trips. On the road, what was it, 10 days in Tennessee, and then it was 14 days going across country. And then it was the 9 days we spent going to New England. And so we didn't do like we would do, like maybe once a month, go for a weekend and then go on the holidays. We skipped all of that. I don't even think we hiked a lot last summer at all. I think we skipped like lots of months because we're planning on all the trips. So yeah, that's what happened. So this year I was trying to, hopefully we can get out there and do that, but we're preparing for a lot of things, a lot of life changes that we're hoping is going to happen. And as you find out that things are a bit expensive and so on and so forth, it begins to start bringing you down that these things won't happen, that these things are not possible and blah, 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 blah. So coming back from Tennessee, I was on a high. But it only took about 2 weeks for just coming back to this raggedy spot for things to just go like, eh. And it just went down from there. And so now we're just trying to get back to the podcast because we spent the better part of last year, right?
Yes.
When we kicked off the YouTube adventure show?
Yeah.
Yeah, we spent the better part of the year really focusing on YouTube and learning storytelling and adding that to our hiking and camping adventures, which is a little odd because you now have to have a camera when you're doing these things. It's a little different than a podcast. I know now we like, maybe for the past 10 years, as it became very popular now, for podcasting, and now everybody's doing visual podcasts on TV and everywhere else. So, yeah. I don't know if I'm going to go that route. Do you want to go that route? I think, you know, your brother said we should, but I don't know.
Not really, no.
Yeah, maybe once a month. Something like that. I wanted to do that for the Instagram people with our hiking community. Just do like a live with us.
You know what's weird?
No.
Most people don't have what they look like when they wake up, or like are super like in the middle of a workout and are really sweaty and just don't look great on the internet. But I can say that I do. Which I guess would make getting married in the future a lot easier. You know, people worry about these things, but it's just out on the internet.
What in the blue moon are you talking about?
Like, you know, when people get married, they're just like, well, oh, this person's never seen me wake up in the morning. They're gonna think I'm ugly and never wanna be married to me anymore.
Okay, you said that, but what do you mean?
But now, like, it's like, okay, now you know what you're getting.
Again, because, explain. What does that mean?
Because I can just be like, here, watch these and make sure that you're 100% sure that you want to go through with this. And I just thought about that.
What are you talking about? Oh, the YouTube.
Yeah.
The video. Why didn't you see? See, here we go again. And now this is live for everyone to hear. This is how our conversations go. As if we were having a conversation, you blurt out something in the middle of it and drive me nuts. Like, I'm the nut. I'm the one who's lost. I don't know what's happening. But it's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's you. It's you. You did this to me. You made me loony. And now you're standing there, and since this is not a visual podcast, people can't see what you're doing. So yeah, I don't know if we're going to go that route. Maybe we'll do like a special, and we'll do like maybe one visual podcast, one visual show, because it's a lot. It's very encompassing when you're hiking, and we brought a GoPro this year, so we went traveling before testing it out, and so we used it. So the next series that's coming up on YouTube on a Friday Night Adventure is going to be us in Tennessee, and we're using the very minimum mediums, and one of them is a GoPro. And so we changed the setting halfway through going and then coming back. So we don't know what we're looking at until right now we're editing the video, and found out that we have a problem kind of editing the video because it's not playing well like Apple with my laptop, but it's working well on her laptop. So, and that's
apparently
a lot.
Apparently it's because of the quality of the videos. Your computer just can't handle it.
No.
Yeah.
No, it is not inadequate. Shh.
I think it has...
Quiet. It's recording this.
No, it had to do with like the stock editing apps and stuff. So like probably iMovie might not be able to do it either. But I guess like we'll just have to find some way to convert the videos into like a smaller... A smaller quality? I don't know. Like, you know what I mean?
I guess we could, but it's the problem I'm having is that the stuttering when I'm creating the video and then like when I tested it.
Yeah, trying to keep up.
Yeah, trying to test it, and then all of a sudden it worked when I did a test video. Like after I already produced the thing that's sitting on YouTube to be ready to go out on that week. So my point was that it's very intrusive because we've been hiking and camping for years and only maybe taking short videos with the phone, which we've mentioned before in the show, and, you know, taking pictures and posting that on Instagram, which is a little less. It's a little bit more spontaneous. You go, oh, wait, click. So now you're sitting up here and go, okay, well, let's put the camera over there, or you let one just roll and catch it catches something. And, you know, when you're trying to hike, you're really focusing on that, so you're carrying all this equipment. The GoPro was easier the last time we went hiking because I get to strap it on. Mm-hmm. But then I can't give it the angles that my eye would use when I use the phone. And so I guess maybe if we did a visual podcast that it wouldn't be so bad because we're setting the camera up in one spot and we're just there.
Yeah.
But, you know, like today I'm standing here in my shorts and a t-shirt. And I didn't have to put on something particularly, you know, unless we did like certain people and they have like a black back. What's that guy? Jeremy Johns, who always has a black jacket, the black shirt, and a red background when he's doing this stuff. We could do something like that. So it's a bit encompassing. So, you know, for now, we're just going to stick to regular radio, like the radio talk show that was there before we started using cameras to record the talk show. So there it is. So that's the update. So we were in Tennessee, and all that other stuff happened. And if you weren't here last week, then go and check out what we were talking about, Halo, the series. And coming up this week, maybe Thursday, I believe it is, we will tell you about the finale on that. Huh. So, should we go straight to hiking or? No, we'll do the mental health thing. So, it is Mental Health Month. And did you know that Mental Health Month had been around for a while?
No.
No, you did not. It started in 50 something, but I'm thinking it was like 1945-ish. I was looking it up before we got here.
I thought it was November, but maybe that's Mental Health Week.
I don't know. But this has been around for a while, and it was started by the MHN, the what's the AMA? American Medical Health. This was started by the American Mental Health, so it's AMH, right? Something like that. Mm-hmm. So they started, and like from the history, from the brief history I read, because I was jumping in a lot of different things. When it started, you know, they would meet around March to put together what they're going to do for the packaging of going out to talk about Mental Health Awareness Month. And so that's what it was. Just to be aware that it's out there. People need help. Money needs to be raised for certain things. And so there you go. And if you listen to this pod, if you listen to our show long enough, then you know that we don't really jump on every month something and talk about Black History Month. This is so-and-so month. This is really not our thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm only covering it this time is because of the 52 Hike Challenge that we began a few years ago. And then we just started this year to do the 52 Hike Challenge 2022. And an article that they had did on us, because they've been asking about our story about it. And so I think it falls right in to the Mental Health Month.
Yeah.
So I had you read something that I've written many years ago. Do you remember the title of it?
No.
Okay, what did you read?
Well, at first you went into, like, you were talking about, I don't know why I said at first you went into who you were talking about. But anyway, the first part was about the story that you had written about this kid who had struggled with schizophrenia. Schizophrenia? Mm-hmm. However you want to pronounce it. But just that, how people would, you know, label it as crazy, and that it wasn't just that, you mm-hmm. know. You could say, oh, well, this person is crazy, but there's more that goes into it. Like, this person is, I would say that anybody that has schizophrenia would say that it was suffering every day of their life for the rest of their lives until it ends.
Right.
And people don't really always understand that part. And yes, maybe they could hurt somebody else, but at the same time, they do have the struggle going on.
Right. It was a short story I wrote many years ago in school. As a comm major, I minored in psych, and part of that was because I wanted to be a writer. And so I had planned to figure out why certain people do certain things so that I can write characters. And, you know, one of them was a serial killer and some other stuff. I have yet to write that. So one of my short stories, I was in psychology class and I was studying a lot of different things. I got to schizophrenia. I was like, wow, this is interesting. You know, because growing up, most people just said, you know, people are crazy because there are different types of mental illnesses. There are major mental illnesses and other mental illnesses that are not major forms. And one of the major forms are schizophrenia, where you where you see things. What's it called?
I do not know.
It'll probably come to me in the middle of talking when we switch subjects and I'll remember it. You know, when you're seeing, hearing, when you're seeing voices and hearing voices, and those are the typical type of things that we, most people growing up watching and seeing in the streets, and that's the type of people that you would see, you know, and some are prone to hurting themselves and some are prone to hurting other people. And one of the reasons, one of the points in the story was that, the guy attacks people because he saw them as monsters. So, you know, I think that the story was pretty much like, you know, can you imagine being that type of person? And I remember years ago hearing about that they used to have these goggles for cops and law enforcement that they can put on to see what it looks like. Mm-hmm. To kind of feel what it would look like for someone to hallucinate, to hallucinate off of drugs and off of some sort of mental illness, which I thought was a great idea. I don't know if they still use those sort of things for training. And so, yeah, but little did I know that I was going to end up having anxiety attacks. Now, I had them years before. It was a short-lived type of thing. I had gone into some therapy to talk about why these things may be happening. And then they just stopped and they disappeared for years until I met and married your mother. And maybe the stress and just the constant oppression, depression, because, you know, when Christians be like, well, you can't be depressed, but you could be oppressed. Yeah, whatever. And I think you probably read some of that in that article that I wrote, right? It was like, you know, the people never really understand it.
Yeah.
People never really understand. Go ahead. What do you have to say?
I don't know.
I spoke about this before. See, I'm trying to give her some time so that I'm not talking the entire time, but she just... So, people don't understand whether the person is bipolar, which is a different type of illness, whether the person has other things, which is a different type of illness. And as I had said a long time ago, I didn't argue with this with a person who told me one point that I wasn't healed because I didn't have enough faith. We spoke about that in the show before. The problem with people who have whatever form of mental illness that they have is that you can't see it. You might see it on someone who's schizophrenic by the way their facial expressions are. You might be able to see someone who's going through something if they're currently having an anxiety attack. And you may be able to see their reaction to that. But other than that, unless someone's medicated and they look like a zombie somewhere, you can't see it. You can see a broken bone. Mm-hmm. You could see someone in a wheelchair. You could see somebody who's blind. And you could see someone with one arm. You could see somebody with no legs. You could see the titanium leg. But you cannot see what's happening to a human being that has an injury that's mental or emotional.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it such a unique and hard thing for some people to grasp. Like, I'm in the middle of panic attack. Someone goes, I hated the fact that they changed from anxiety attack to panic attacks and panic disorder. And they just, every year, they just bring on new names. To go through something, someone, just breathe. You'll be okay. No one's hurting you. What are you so afraid of? And like, really? It's not being afraid. Now, when I first started going through this, I was looking up what does it, because one of the questions on the internet was, you know, what does it feel like? What does an anxiety feel like? What does a panic attack feel like? It feels like, what is it, fearful of something that's not really there. Then I looked up anxiety attack, which is funny. They add a few more words in there, which is like impending. How can I explain what I went through? It was an impending doom. I was in a train and all of a sudden, it was very slow. It gradually started getting to the point where it exploded. That I was having this every single day, and that's when I realized something was wrong, but it was nothing I can do about it. One of the things that the thing said was that people feel like they're losing their mind or slowly losing their mind. And so I'm on the train and all of a sudden I had this sense, maybe because I knew that the R train went under the water to get to Queens. I had the sense that sitting there thinking, what if the water came in? And all of a sudden I had this sense of drowning, which made no sense to me. And so I'm grabbing onto the pole, trying to breathe. Like this makes no sense. And so I got off the train and started relaxing. And then walked to work and went to work. But then it kept happening. And then it just got more and more severe. Then it got to the point where it was so severe, I could not get out of the door. Because just touching the door would set me off to the point of, I couldn't breathe, I couldn't move, my brain was erratic. And after a couple of months of going through that, I started having panic attacks, thinking I was going to have an anxiety attack. Because you're always thinking, well, is this going to cause, and it was crazy. So you start setting them off. Because you think you're going to have one and you don't want to have, and then that starts the whole thing. And it was an insane train ride. And we were in the kitchen one day and mommy came over to me and I couldn't, it got to a point where I couldn't have people touch me or take the toothbrush to brush my teeth. I couldn't listen to certain music. I couldn't listen to any music actually. There's only two things I was able to listen to repeatedly for over a year that would calm me down. But I told mommy, I feel like I'm losing my mind and I'm going crazy. Now you tell that to people around you. No one ever got it because you can't see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were somewhere, we were eating out with your grandmother, and I got up from the table because I couldn't sit there. And the question was, where is he going? He can't sit here. And there was a question of why I couldn't sit there and eat. I was like, sure, I need to go. I went outside because we were sitting in a restaurant, and it was the clinging of the plates of people next to me and then everybody around me. I was like, picture Spider-Man, maybe the cartoon you'd be better. The Spider-Man a comic book or the cartoon, you see the spidey sense and little things tingling? Mm-hmm. That's what it felt like. That's a visual representation of what it felt like. And, yeah, so.
Or would Venom be a better comparison?
Why Venom?
With the bell.
Which Venom?
Oh,
you're talking about Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
With the bell. Yeah. It was kind of like, And yeah, so I went to therapy for a little bit and we talked about certain things that could have been stressors that caused this and prolonged time of a depression I didn't know I had. I just was always blue moments and do these other things. And so just a prolonged period of that depleted my serotonin levels and just everything else. So contrary to certain people's belief who was talking to me in those days, it wasn't just an emotional thing. I also had physical issues.
Yeah.
With the serotonin. And then I had physical tics that it took me a very long time to get away from. I used to wear a hat indoors to keep that floating brain syndrome from feeling like your head is just floating away from you. And, you know, having my hands in my pocket everywhere I sit in the corner so I can quickly dash out. So, and I had to learn how to redo that in life. So, yeah. So that was my experience with the panic attacks. And then later on, I had other things I had to deal with. You just stand there.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Like at the end of 2020. And we've talked about this for the past year, how I've been going through, you know, talking with that and dealing with those things. We'll be right back. Hey, thanks for your listening support of our show. If you have any questions or comments, or you have any suggestions of shows that you might want us to tackle, you can reach us at whitebeardandtk@gmail.com. That's whitebeardandtk@gmail.com. And are you into hiking, backpacking, and camping? Well, check out our Friday night adventures at 6:30 on YouTube, The White Beard and TK Experience. Again, we thank you and hope that you are liking and sharing and telling everyone. Now, back to the show. At the end of 2020, I think is when everything, not that I think, I know, everything started to come crashing down for me. I had held everything together. I mean, you were here with me the entire time after mommy died, right? So what was going on?
I think that you, as a parent, you know, you never want to kind of let your child know that you're going through things. Like, of course, like, you always, I feel like you would want to be transparent so your child doesn't grow up and be like, well, you lied to me about however you felt about whatever. But I also think that there's a well, I don't want them to know this because maybe they might think that, like, I don't know. That you're not the same, I don't know. Or like you're not as good of a parent. I don't know what the thought process is like. I don't have kids. But I think that you tried to, like, make it seem like everything was totally okay, like, with you. But I also knew that it wasn't.
Right. Things were okay. I think we got through that first year of loss, especially since it was just us by ourselves. I know other people can argue who may be listening to this, and other people may argue, well, you had other family members who went through so-and-so, and they probably felt this way, and so on. Well, that's true. I'm quite sure they did. I don't think any of that was voiced to us, and we were probably it was just you and me, right? Mm-hmm. Left here, going through it. I don't remember too many people or anyone checking on me and seeing how I was. So, you know, enough of that. I'm not complaining about all of that. I'm just saying that that is a reality of what we went through.
Yeah.
And what we were going through and how we got out of it. And so I can't tell someone else's story. I can tell you our story, and we were just there. And so I had to go back to work. I didn't know anything else, and I went back to work, and I did what I could. And as I've said many times here, is that the mourning process I didn't really have access to, because I had to keep moving throughout the day to make sure that she was okay. I don't know if I spoke about this here in the show, because we just came back. But you and I have talked about this since we were down in Tennessee, and we were speaking with people down there and looking at places, because they were asking, oh, is she ready for college? I'm like, no, you know, we got to work on this other thing. And it was then I said, you know what? Perhaps if I had just taken off from work right then and there, you would have been, because hindsight is 20/20. We could have gotten you through school with less issues with the stuff that you had to deal with in school. I mean, what was that like for you going to school? You're going through high school at that time. I just like when we started the whole Instagram and the hiking thing, it was Whitebeard and the kid, and then Whitebeard and TK. You know, it's a 13-year-old kid. I'm not putting her name out there for all of the internet to, you know, harass her, say anything else. You know, I've talked about all the stuff that I went through during the time, and not her. She was young age, but she's older now. And so, you know, but I don't want to say we're going to discuss you because I'm not you. I'm not doing that. That's not what it's about. But anyway, so what was it like for you going to trying to get to school every day, and then you had to go to school that was far away? What was that for you?
In the beginning, I think I was, you know, when people describe like, well, I don't feel anything. I'm very numb. I think like that first year was a lot of that. I mean, the day after, which wasn't even a full 24 hours, I went to school and I didn't really want to talk about anything. I told my friend what happened, and she was just like, no, like, you're joking. Like, and I was like, no. And it wasn't like having a breakdown, like no, but it was kind of just like a uniform like answer, like no, it did happen. But going through high school was very hard. I didn't really want to go, not because it's like every kid has not every kid, because some people actually do enjoy school, but a lot of people have the, well, I don't want to go to school because school is boring. I mean, we all feel like that, because some school subjects can be boring.
Not me.
But I didn't want to go. I didn't have the energy really to go anywhere. I remember one time I just didn't go to school. I was on the floor. Not all day, but I just couldn't get up and go. It wasn't really like a comforting place for me. Not that it was boring, I felt like being around everybody in the school kind of just made my life harder emotionally. Which is funny, because now I like being around people, specific people, like specific types of people. Obviously people have their preferences when it comes to people that they want to hang out with, but yeah.
Listen, this is your show, this is my show. You don't have to pre-qualify your answers. Say what you want to say, and that's it. That's it. Well, some people have their, but no, don't even go there. Just say what you had to say and just leave it right there and let it lie. I actually like school. I like learning. I just hated the school system and the people in it that made my life terrorizing. And the fact that I barely was able to read made things harder for me in school. So I love it. I still love learning now, as you already know. I'm constantly looking at things and reading things and learning new things. And we go out like hiking and learning about plants and stuff. We'll get to that a little bit later because I'm jumping ahead of things. So, you know, as we were talking to people, I said, you know, in hindsight now, we could have offset a lot of different things had I just taken off work then. But I didn't. And I did what I thought was the best thing for us, which was right. Try to keep some normalcy, because you know, what would have happened if we didn't keep normalcy and we just wallowed in that? You said something the other day, is that a lot of things happen to a lot of people. We're watching movies and someone was raped over here and there was other things and people who go through things. And you said there's a difference between what?
Letting it overtake your life.
Right. Letting it overtake your life, or what was the other option?
Or, you know, I guess the wording would be you taking control of it.
Right. You can either take control of it, learn from it, use it, stand on it, build off it, rocketeer off of that thing, and move on with your life. And you put the pieces together as you move along. So And I remember the time that one of the, a pastor's wife came and told you about her blah, 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 blah. What did she say to you? I can't talk right now.
She said that her mom, she had also lost her mom at like a similar age. I don't remember if she said she was younger than me. I think she may have been. But she was talking about how she didn't have her father there to like help her through it. And that, you know, it's a good thing that I still do have mine.
Yeah, because she didn't lose her dad. Her dad was alive, but he just started drinking and then disappeared into oblivion. Mm-hmm. And that could have easily been me. That could have very easily been me. I could have been in a funk and never got out, and we would have been worse off. So, you know, although it didn't all work out, the way when you look back on things, how it could have worked, we got through it and we survived. And there was another vehicle in part of that that helped with our survival and our healing. But before we go there, yeah, I just told somebody, I said, you know, had I taken off, if I had known better, if I had taken off the whole 2 years, we could have gotten her through the school, we could have had all the other things, and then we could have just moved out of the city then. Or, you know, but that wasn't the course I took. And we went another way, as a person said, well, you did what you thought was right and the best that you could with what you had at that moment, which is true. And so here we are today. And so when 2020 hit, it wasn't because of the year. It was all those years of everything piling up on me and just moving through. At the end of the year, it was just like one, it wasn't a simple phone call, but it was a phone call. And that just set off a domino effect for me. And I ended up in a depressive place that I couldn't get out of for a while. And, you know, it took about a year later, I think it was the top of this year or the top of last year, whatever it was, I don't remember, when the therapist I was seeing told me, she gave me a diagnosis. I said, so what do you think it is? What kind of depression? Like, am I depressed? What's going on? And she said it was dysthymia. Mm-hmm. Dysthymia, which apparently is defined as a low mood that occurs over two or more years, but it's a long-term, I want to say low-grade depression. So it's something that's lasting and keeps going. And so when I was reading one thing and it was saying that, you know, some people could say that it's, you know, a lighter form or it's that, but it's not. And that's for some people, it could be even worse than clinical depression in a way where you're like heavily medicated. And I understand, because it's something that's lasting. It's something that's lasting. And you've seen me. Obviously, you've seen me. You're in a house with me. There are days I have to drag myself to get through a day. Yeah. And, you know, and I try not to be that way, because I don't want that to happen to you. Remember that movie that we saw when the guy who was in the army, him and his daughter were living in a wood somewhere?
Yeah.
And she said, I'm not sick, because the way it had to live. It was a really good movie, though. I didn't like how the ending it was. You know, they split. He left her there, but he went off. But he always could come back to that community. But she was there in that community of people. Some new people that wasn't their family, but she met those people. And so you never really want certain things to affect your children. I mean, obviously life is going to affect them, you know, not eating breakfast is going to affect them. It just, everything affects us all. But, you know, as parents, you try not to let the most major things that you're going through have a ripple effect on the people standing behind you. And as you said, you can either go the route of letting the thing bring you down, or you flip it around and then you do that. And so I chose that, not to allow this to happen, and to do everything to the best of my ability to make sure I can get through the day, the week, the month, and whatever else, you know, that goes with it. And so it was kind of weird hearing the dysthymia thing after We had been hiking all that time. But then when she said it, it made sense. I'm like, uh-huh. I'm like, wait, you mean I could have this for even more years than all of this? And I started to think back about all of the years and all of the things. It's like, aha, that explains something. Was it my sister, I think, when I was younger? Said, oh, you're always Mr. Doom and Gloom. And it just certain comments that I heard when I was younger, I'd overpass it just like, what? And it's like I can have joy, and then one little thing will come and just like, and so it's a constant fight. And no, I'm not on any medication. What? Nothing. I know I'm not on any medication. I chose not to because I don't think it's needed. So I can fully function. For some people, they can't fully function.
Yeah.
So after all that, I was like, man, what? And so that ended that year. So then last year we decided, let's do some things we've never done before. It was something I said to mommy, which like, hey, let's do things that we've never done in a marriage. And so we hit the road and we recorded it. We started a YouTube channel and we just put it out there. Good, bad, and ugly. Crazy edits, bad edits, terrible movie, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's been a long year of learning how to do these things. And so out of that, and the reason why we started the YouTube channel was I said it could be something where you would have in years to come to say, hey, I did this, and you can show it to the grandkids if I'm not around to see them born. Like, look, this is your grandfather. This is what we did. And then you can always look back on those things and say, wow, I did that. And what a great thing. But then it quickly turned to, you know what I don't see people talk about on the internet and YouTube and in the outdoor industry? We never hear about people from where we come from, inside an urban setting, in the city, who come from areas like this where, you know, the outdoor community is not that huge because people don't think about it. So then we started thinking, you know what? It's not just for us, but it's for other people like us who live in areas like this, and which is a perfect segue into. So 2020 hit, we get through. You're about to hit high school. We go to Nissan. What you thinking? How did you feel once we adopted the puddle jumper?
I was just glad that I didn't really have to use public transportation anymore. I mean, which made no difference, like, as far as New York City goes, because it's not like we were really going anywhere before that anyway. But yeah, it was just like we could go to more places now than we could, more than we could before.
Yes, and it also gave us the ability to be mobile.
I thought I would be sitting in the back seat a lot more.
Why?
I don't know.
Were you a passenger? Am I your driver? But it gave a sense of freedom that we were able to go and to do things, even though we were stuck here. It opened up a whole brand new world. And which it did, we started going camping.
Yeah.
Which you later on decided that you like camping. Then we started hiking, and that's when we first started the first 52 hike challenge. And it took us a number of years, as I spoke about here on the show. It took us 3 years to finish because of a lot of things that were going on. We had a lot of interruptions. When the summer came, nobody really wanted to hike. And although we had to hike maybe one, this summer we're going to be hiking during the summer. I think we had to hike one summer in between that, right? The first year. And that's when we first were dehydrated. And then we were suffered from heat exhaustion that summer. It was a big learning curve. Viking. And we started posting it. And in the beginning, there were a few people that I was posting. She wasn't really doing much. You weren't really doing much. And, you know, people say, oh, good job. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. And then the hiking community opened up. I got more people coming out from there and just say, hey, I'm with you. You know, I'm on hike 5. I'm on hike 12. I'm on hike 20. Keep going. Keep going. And they just rallied behind me. Then they rally behind you. Oh, that's great, man. You're taking your daughter out there and blah, blah. And it was wonderful to get those because there weren't too many people around us who were doing that. And, you know, and that was part of what took us 3 years to accomplish, to finish it. There were a lot of things that were going on, but so we did that. And for me, I don't know about you, but that helped with the healing process of the loss, being outside in connection with God's creation and feeling His presence out there on the trail, feeling His presence on the road, feeling closer to mommy as I was driving on the road. As I tell you, you know, we used to have great times when we rented the car, we would go places, and we would take vacations, and every time I get it, turn that key, when I turn the key, press a button. And I start to drive, I start feeling freedom. The minute we turn off this block, I don't know about you, the minute we turn off this block, it's like my chest goes, and it's like, freedom! And step on the gas. Oh, is it just me?
Yes.
Wow, savage. So,
I think I like the exploring part of it more.
Exploring what?
Like, just new places. I don't know. Like, it may just be the, because New Yorkers walk everywhere. But I used to have this feeling, and I still do. It's just like, when I'm outside, I kind of just want to, like, pick a direction and just walk. And not do, like, do, not do anything, but, like, somebody's like, well, why? Just see what's over there. I mean, I wouldn't walk down any dark alleyways, but I want to know what's behind that bush, you know?
And so, that's no real difference than what I said. You know, hit the road the minute we turn that corner, and it's like, I have the freedom to go, and where can I go? The options are endless. And for the first couple of years, we just went up and down the East Coast. Pennsylvania, we went to Virginia once, with Pennsylvania, went upstate, went to Boston, went to different places that we hiked at and we went camping at. And that's all we did. It just kind of felt like a little small to me. I got tired of going to Jersey Turnpike. And then last year, scared to death, I said, let's drive across country. And that was kind of hard, wasn't it? I know you're gonna say not for you.
No.
Okay, so what were you gonna say? For me, right?
Yes.
Why?
Because you don't like to take big risks.
And then I second guess everything that I've ever done.
Yep. Even buying the laptop they're recording on now.
What you saying?
I had to tell him to press the buy button on the laptop.
Yo, why are you putting all my stuff out in the street like that? Yeah, so, you know,
not like I do things sporadically, erratically.
All willy-nilly?
But I just kind of do things and see what happens. But no, I do like New Mexico. Like, as a visiting place, I wouldn't live there. It's way too hot, and my nose couldn't take it. There's too much sand out there.
Oh, come on.
But listen,
you were better by the end of the week.
They were talking about, well, El Paso is dangerous. The only dangerous thing I saw out there were the bugs. The bugs were scary. I was terrified using that restroom, the rest stop bathroom. It was very...
Oh, yeah, with the bug.
A horrifying experience.
Desert bugs, right. Someone said, everything in the desert is trying to kill you.
That's the fastest I've ever used the bathroom.
I remember. I was like, wow.
But yeah, the New Mexico area is very beautiful, by the way. I like it. It's cool.
Yeah, I love the plain states in the desert. So it was hard getting out there. But once we did, it was like when we first brought the car. It was like the first time we went hiking. It was very scary and the stuff that we did. But we accomplished it. The first time we didn't go hiking, but the first time I stood on the edge of a mountain that had maybe 2 feet in front of us before you dropped down to your death, I was shaking. My legs were shaking. I couldn't stand. Remember when we took the picture? And my arm was shaking. You holding on to me, my arm was shaking. And then when I got finished, I was like, man, I could have died. And at the same time, I felt like, oh, man, this feels good to be out here. Mm-hmm. And then we just started hiking and doing things and going up mountains that make your heart beat into your brain and just doing all kinds of stuff and that could be potentially dangerous depending on where you go.
Depending on who you are. I feel like stupidity is also a part of danger.
Sure.
Like, if you like to do stupid things, like there's a tiny little trail and you're like, well, I'm gonna run and play around and mess around and be an idiot, and then, you know, you fall off a cliff. I don't think that's the cliff's fault.
Yeah. And so being out there, when we first started, we didn't know much, but over the past couple of years we've learned some things, and we've hiked in oh my Lord.
So first was romaine lettuce, and now it's Roma tomatoes.
Remote places where if any one of us could have got injured, there was no one coming to help us. And when we first started out, we had that little boo-boo kit of a first aid, and that wouldn't have done anything. Now we have a better first aid kit that can handle a sprained ankle and some other stuff and other things that we can carry. And when we know we're going to a more harder trail, we'll take more things with us. If we're going to an easier trail, one that's familiar, we know, we'll take less things. But we still have more than a boo-boo kit. Mm-hmm. So we even got one which we could have used that first year when we had heat exhaustion, the tablets that we could have taken to help us.
Yeah,
it would have been nice. And so found healing out there, because there were days when I couldn't speak to the Lord. There were days I couldn't read. There was no one around. And then we go out there, and even though no one was around, we were surrounded by the birds and the trees and the chirping and the air and the wind blowing and the smell of greenery, and it was beautiful. And driving on the road was amazing. You stop at rest areas and you meet people who's traveling. And you know, we first started hiking, we didn't really notice people traveling. I guess because we stayed around here a lot more. But we did run into hunters during hunting season when we get them around a fall and winter hiking. We ran into a lot of hunters and a lot of off-road people.
ATV.
Yeah, with the ATVs and their dirt bikes and stuff. So we were running into a lot of them. We just have conversations. Yes.
You know what I think is very funny? Is that when you get older, you start getting scared of stuff that you weren't scared of as a little kid. Like when I was younger, I remember, I think it was like the second time that I went to this camp that you and mommy worked at. I mean, it had to only be the second time because that's when I would be old enough to remember. But I remember it was like raining or something, and so all the frogs were out, and me and my brother were catching the frogs and putting them into a box one by one, not just like a bunch of, and then we would let them go. Okay, we're not frog murderers. But like now, I'm a little freaked out by frogs and toads. Like now that I know that certain ones can kill you, I'm a little bit more cautious with being around them.
See, there you go again. But we let them go. We're not frog killers. There's no need to say that. Just say what you're going to say and then let it go. Somebody got a problem with them, let them say something. But I forgot what I was going to say. No, it was a third time because you weren't born. Was there in 2001 and 2002?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you were born after that. So it was the third time we were there. And so, yeah, so I found it was a lot of hiking and the freedom of being outdoors and When 2020 hit, for so many people, they were locked indoors. They couldn't get out. They didn't know how to take care of themselves. We were already home. I had lost my job in 2019. So, but we were already there. We were already outside, and they tried to shut the outside from us. And now we're learning that so many mental illnesses were exacerbated because of it. A lot of people found depression. Those who need to be gathered around a lot of people were falling in deep depression because they were isolated. For us, it wasn't that bad because we were already gone through some other stuff and we were going through some things. And, you know, when they shut down the outdoors, it was like, y'all out your mind. I think we stayed home for like maybe 30 days straight, right? That first 30 days, the first 15 to the next 15, right? Yeah, we were back out in April. Mm-hmm. We stayed home all of March, and we back out in April, and then we went out later on that year. We were hiking that summer, which was a brutal hot summer, and then we went camping that year. So I bring that up to say that sort of thing and that time to unwind, to let down, to be out in nature, to be out in fresh air, to take advantage of the sun, grab that umbrella and walk out into the rain and just marvel at all of the things that the rain is going to be doing. It's not just going to flood the street. That's going to make you mad. You're not just going to get splashed by a car zooming by, but it's also watering the planet. It's filling the reservoir for that water that you just drink. It's falling on the trees that would grow, that would give them the nutrients that would grow, that would cover your head.
You want to know how I know that I'm not like definitely when I'm scared of something, I'm 100% scared of it, and I'm not ashamed to tell you. Like the time I thought there was a bat in my room and it was a bird, I was terrified. I was shaking, and I did not go back in that room. I called you to help because being afraid of things is not something that we should be ashamed of. Anyway, you want to know how I know that we're slightly different is because I would never go outside with an umbrella into the rain. I would just go into the rain because mm-hmm. I like rain. You're talking about how rain does different things.
It doesn't matter. I was gonna go into the comments that we got from the article, and so well, I don't use my umbrella anymore. Anyway, I have a raincoat. I go get wet and just go back and come back. I just don't like hiking in the rain. Other than that, I remember when I was a kid, I used to walk out in the rain and just run out and just dance around in the rain. It was crazy. And so, yeah, a lot of things have changed over time. You know, our first aid kit. We have been out and seen many things. And I think in 2020, everybody was all in the whole black thing and BLM and the fist and all the other nonsense. And then they had, you know, hashtag black birders, black naturalists, black this and black that. But we've already been doing that.
Which I think is partly really good, though, because you're kind of letting somebody know. I mean, as long as you do the right thing with it, right? As long as you're not, I feel like as long as you're not doing, you know, well, I'm going to create this hashtag, black people doing so-and-so, because I want to be, like, make a political statement. But, like, if you just want to be like, hey, guys, you can do it too. Great.
I get that. So we have seen in all of our years, what did we count? Was it 17 or 19 species of birds?
Think so.
And we've seen a couple of maybe three species of snakes. We've seen a bunch of deer, and we've just recently saw falcons or hawks.
Falcons.
Hawks. Right. We've seen hawks. We've seen falcons. We've seen eagles. None I could see up close, but we spotted it, and we couldn't get a good picture with our camera and stuff. So one of the things we've now added was when we were in Tennessee, there were these older couples and older people, sorry, not couples, that were hiking, and they had this little thing called SEEK, S-E-E-K, and I think it's by iNaturalists. You can get this and put this on your phone, and it helps you identify birds, By species, birds, I think it's fish, yeah, because you do reptiles and you can do flowers. So we've seen a couple of flowers and plants. And now I have this app. So now we're hiking, I can be like, oh, look what we just found, because we found it before and then had to come home and look at the picture and go, does that look like that?
Yeah, he's got a new hobby now.
And so we can talk about, I was gonna order us some binoculars, man. I know we're past the day, by past the point, but when a fall comes back. Anyway, so we've seen all these things, and never did I ever think of putting hashtag Black Birdie, Black Birders, or whatever it is. But we've seen birds, we've seen all these other things that other naturalists and people do, enthusiasts does do. And so yeah, so it's like it's an amazing thing to learn these things, to be out there and to feel that healing and then move past the healing to moving into life. And hiking did that for us. Traveling did that for us. It's continuing to do that for us. Exploring the world. We went across country. No one else we know in our family has ever done that. And even though we did it, no one's ever asked us about it, even talk about it. But you know what? That was just for us. Now I need to go across the top half of the country. Because I want to get out to Montana and other things. But the point was, so in doing that, posting about it, as we signed up for the challenge, I saw someone had a hashtag of 50 hiking over 50. And so I had talked to the people 51, 52 hike challenge about it. I said, well, you know what? What about us? I'm like, everybody's got these hashtags and stuff. I said, my daughter and I are a team, but we've been doing this for a while. We can try anyway. So through a whole long series of talking back and forth, I was contacted the beginning of this year and was asked if we would share our story. We'll probably add the link to this, and I guess you'll have to copy and paste it to find the article. And the article briefly said, some of the stuff we talked about just now. And you have your phone?
No.
And doing it once it was posted, a lot of people, a lot of, when we found, I'm sorry, I'm looking through it on the phone while we're talking about it right now. And the response that we received, or that it received from it was pretty, what?
It's overwhelmingly positive.
Go ahead, read.
Okay, I'll do the first one. Love this so much. Congratulations. Truly inspiring story. Keep hiking, brother. We need to plan a hike together. Awesome.
Oh, who's
Hashtag
that?
hiking with a bear.
Oh, yeah, we do, because he's not that far from us. He lives about two states under us. Go ahead.
Awesome. Hashtag mission accomplished.
Woohoo!
This is amazing. Good work. Congratulations, well done. So encouraging. Congrats. Congrats and God bless you both. Super congratulations, you two. Mother Nature has a way of taking our pain and filling us back up with the vitality to live. Thank you for sharing your healing journey. Congratulations to the mountains I must go to lose myself and find my soul.
I know that quote.
I think it's that guy that lived in a cabin for like a year.
John, no, that's right. That's not John Mayer. It sounds like the one from upstate New York, right? Yeah, I can't think of his name right now. The writer. Go on.
I can't either, but you want to know how I know that?
Because
Only
we just saw the other.
from a TV show.
Yeah, the hiking archives? No, not hiking archives. What are the guys'
No, I
name?
knew before that.
Oh, Adventure
Adventure
Archive.
Archives.
Yeah, Adventure Archives.
Congratulations. Maybe they met on a journey of healing. This is absolutely beautiful. Thanks. Thank you so much for sharing your story and more.
Yeah, and it goes on, and it was a couple of people. One person was saying he needed to hear that because he's going through some stuff right now and some ups and downs. And I know in the Christian world, people say, oh, that was just so humbling. And I know Hollywood actors and everybody on TV always say, now, that's so humbling. And I think we get to the point where we don't even understand what that means. It felt really good to hear people being blessed as we were being blessed. You know what I mean? We're out there, and because they're now getting from us.
Yeah.
Two unknown people that they just met online, that they see on YouTube, showing them that you can do this at any age, any health condition. You can go out and you can do these things and enjoy that. And when you're out there enjoying that world around you, exploring, as you said, the world around you, exploring the world of nature, you will find yourself finding peace.
Yeah.
There's only about so much binging of television you can do just sitting on your butt after you've come home from work or when you're doing nothing else. At some point, you need to move. And, you know, when children are younger, they understand the thing that we lose as we get older. Mm-hmm. And it exacerbates whatever health issues we have. And today we're talking mental health. It exacerbates everything. You know, I have arthritis. And, you know, sitting down all day, every day, you heard my bones cracking. And, you know, but you have to keep moving. Because if you don't keep moving, it just gets worse as you just keep getting stiffer. And I have climbed some mountains and been some places, and I have gotten to the point where I just wanted to quit. Smoky Mountain will do that to you. It'll make you want to quit. It's not that hard, it's just a climb and going up. But we have been on terrain where it has been hard on my bones.
Yeah.
And I have to come home and rest for a day to let the swelling go down on my knees and stuff, but I felt much better having been out there and coming back, gotten that fresh air in the lungs, and then just sitting around a campfire, whether it's hot in the summer or cold in the winter, and you're just out there,
yeah,
away from the city lights. And so I was blessed and moved by what people were saying, and because you realize the power that we have. You know, the Bible said the power is in the life and death is the power of the tongue is life. Had the power of the tongue holds life or death. So, you know, like you can bless and curse, it's the same thing. So the story of, as we have said many years in church, was that, you know, someday your pain will be there to help somebody else. You'll go through something to help somebody else. So it was really weird to read those comments, but it felt good. And then it felt like, wow, a massive weight that, ooh, I guess it's a good weight. I don't want to say it was a massive weight, like, oh, I have to do this now to represent. Not that kind of weight, but like other people were encouraged by what we were doing. And that sign, that kind of gives you what we say in the hiking world, that accountability. You got your whole community behind you going, yeah, did you go hiking this weekend? Did you get to number 8 yet? But, and they're always happy. And it was, how did you feel reading that? Because you didn't at first. I told you to.
Well, I didn't because I was sleeping.
Ha ha ha.
But yeah, it felt really weird. Because I just, that so many people like knew like what you were doing. Like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like very weird for me to know that somebody else knows.
Yes. And the founder of the 52 Hike Challenge sent me an email and multiple messages on that day that it came out and said, I really love this story. I'm so happy. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. I'm like, oh my gosh, she really was moved by this. I'm like, okay. And yeah, so it's great to be able to do that. And we're able to do that because we found this vehicle of nature to be the thing that helped with us in life. Now, not with everyday life, because you still have to empty the garbage and sometimes something breaks, like this apartment is falling apart. But my point is, able to get away. Because when we don't do that, it exacerbates everything, as I've mentioned that word before. That sounds really good. But when we went to New Mexico, a lot of people said, wear a hat. I went out there and soaked up all that vitamin D And it felt really, really, really good to be out there with the sun, and we looked up and we saw nothing but sky. There was no buildings for like miles. And it's just straight up, and it felt good to absorb all of that and then have to come back to New York and be surrounded by buildings of glass and concrete where the sun is blocked so you can't get it. And so the only way you can get to that is being able to go outside of this. So when we got the puddle jumper, that did open up a lot for us. Other than that, we were traveling underground on a train, going down to a restaurant or going to work and then going to school and then not expanding our world. And because, the Lord opened the door, because of all the stuff that happened, it did open up our world to us, and it opened up our community to this massive community that we now have that we are affecting, and that change is for good for them. And I am happy for that. So we will probably add that link to the article and to here. And I think that'll be it, right? Unless you want to say some more. And what are we going to be doing this week? Thursday, Halo, right? The Halo finale. And look out for, what do you want to say that? AOC had a comment about abortion, which made us have to think about something. So we're gonna have a multi-part series on that subject coming up very, very soon. But yeah, you can find our outdoor adventures, and we're going to be recording as much as we possibly can. This year's 52 Hike Challenge. That's basically what we're focusing on this year. Last year was like traveling and hiking. So this season two will be the 52 Hike Challenge and some camping, as we're doing a lot of other things this particular year we're hoping to get accomplished. So you can catch us there, you can catch us right here, and you can always go over to Instagram and find us over there as well. And with that, we're going to say see you until next time, and be good to your neighbor. Because you don't have to agree, right? But you can agree that we're all human and we're your neighbors. And like I said, Jesus had that correct. Anyway, so we're out of here. Say goodbye, kid.
Goodbye.